And with our musical theme, we are reminded once again that it's time for Tales of the Unexpected with Roald Dahl. I can't do the voice, and I'm not going to attempt to. I sometimes wonder if I'm living in a different planet to the rest of the people in my family. I sometimes wonder if I'm totally missing the point, because there's been a bit of laughter about this ever since I started doing this series. And this week I've discovered why. I have been totally unaware of this, but my wife and daughter are both teaching the kids at their school Tales of the Unexpected by Roald Dahl at the moment, which is quite bizarre. And they looked at me like, what, you hadn't worked that out? No, I hadn't. It's because I was living on a different planet, I think. But Roald Dahl, I am now told, wrote these stories. I didn't realise that. I thought he just fronted the show. You see, there you go. I've not been brought up right, have I? No, it's terrible, really. I'm a man of little education, really. But Roald Dahl would present these stories each week, 10:30 on a Sunday night on ITV, and they would always have a hook on the end, a twist at the end of the story. And it was very funny. I was talking to my wife the other day while I said, I always remember the one called Royal Jelly. And this man would walk around, and everything he would say, he would buzz at the end of his sentences. Bzzz. And it sticks in my mind. And funnily enough, she's been reading that with the kids. But whatever these stories were, they all had this element of the unexpected. And the reality is, in our lives, we meet up the unexpected sometimes too often. Calamity is a way of life for some people. For some, it's just a shock when it comes. But whatever it is a shock in life that we have to learn to cope with. 11 weeks ago today, I had a cardiac event, which is what they call a heart attack these days. I ended up in hospital, and you know the rest of the story. Today, I am alive. Well, thank you for both of you who appreciate that. The reality is that in my daily reading, a few days after my event, I read this story in Romans 8, where it says, does it mean God no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Of course it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. When I read it, I thought, well, of course it doesn't mean that. And, of course, Paul goes on to make it quite clear it doesn't mean that. But it started me thinking on this, and when it comes to calamities, which are a very real part of life, a calamity tells you nothing about the person it's happened to. But how they deal with their calamities might tell you an awful lot. And so last time we talked about how an enemy did this, and we talked about how we have spiritual enemies, natural enemies. We even have enemies in the mirror. And most of all, we face a defeated enemy. Today, we're going to talk about our calamities in the context of this word consequences. So, my first point today is opportunity. I like this little quote by Thomas Edison. Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. What a great quote that is. It's absolutely nothing to do with what I'm going to say today, but it's a great quote. What is to do with what I want to say today is something I referred to last week in passing, which is the account in John chapter 9, where he says, as Jesus was passing by. I love those words, as Jesus was passing by. They make everything sound so random, don't they? They make everything sound so, well, you'll never guess what happened next. And of course, If you are reading John's Gospel with an open heart, you will never guess. But when John's Gospel tells you what happened next, it's an amazing revelation of the power of God. But it says, as he was passing by, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him." Now, some people have interpreted this scripture in ways that suit their mindset, which of course we all do actually. We always interpret scripture in a way that suits us. But J. Ramsay Michael, who's written a really excellent New International Commentary on the New Testament for John, he makes the meaning of the Greek here very, very clear. He says this, when it says neither this man nor his parents sinned, it isn't saying this man hasn't sinned. It isn't saying that his parents haven't sinned. What it's saying is their sin has not caused this man's blindness. And when Jesus says this came about so God's works might be displayed in him, it isn't saying that God made this man born blind so that however many years later Jesus could be passing by and heal him, but that here we have an opportunity to heal. And Jesus is saying here to his disciples, look guys, please don't be arguing about who's to blame. But here, we have to recognize we have an opportunity to make a sick guy better. And of course, God didn't need to make anybody be born blind so they could be healed. There are enough blind people in the world. All Jesus had to do was walk past the right person. And so, a man's or woman's calamity is not about sin, but about opportunity. And if only we looked at our calamity as opportunity, we would be much more aware of the power of God and the goodness of God around us. You remember I referred last week to punitive retribution, this concept that what you do is why you are poorly, or you are poor because you have done something wrong, or basically what happens to us in life is a result of our sin. And the book of Job in the Old Testament, the whole purpose of that book is to rubbish that idea. Even though it was a very, very widespread concept in the Old Testament days, pagans, people who had no concept of the goodness of God, no concept that there was a God of love out there, these people would often believe that. And you can see from Job's comforters that that was what they taught and believed. How sad is it that we would even entertain a thought that God would, for some reason, purposefully make a man be born blind? Why would we entertain that idea about God? Wouldn't it have been a greater thing if he had never been born blind? And as I've already said to you, God didn't need to make that man born blind because there were lots of blind people in that world. Why do we think like this? Instead of looking for reasons, we should always respond to people's sickness by offering to pray for them. You know, I grew up in a church where people would always preface their prayer with, "Lord, if it's your will, please heal Derek's leg. Please heal Mrs. Roberts' chest, if it's your will." It was like a coverall statement that they would put on their prayers, which meant if nothing happened, They were all right because they could blame it on God's will. And you know what? God's will is always to heal. But when Jesus said to us, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And remember, the will of God is that the kingdom of God should come. So we're praying a couplet. It's the same thing twice we're praying. When the kingdom of God doesn't come, it's not because it's God's will. It's because we haven't quite made it through. We haven't kicked the door down. And the truth is, sometimes people don't get healed. You know, when people don't get healed, it's not their lack of faith. It's not their sin. It's because the kingdom of God has not fully come. And we live in a world where the kingdom of God has not fully come. I ask you, look at this world. Do we live in a world where the kingdom of God has fully come? Of course not. That's why Jesus told us to pray that way. We should always pray that the kingdom of God comes. I think it's a very confused state when we preface our prayers with, Lord, if it's your will. What we need to do is ask God what his will is, and then pray according to his will. If we don't know what to pray, we should pray in tongues, because that way, I am quite sure you will end up praying in God's will. But the truth is, in all our calamities, there are opportunities. Opportunities to visit people. Opportunities to pray for them. Opportunities to make them food, to share a reading or a book. Someone was telling me the other day that they wanted to write down a poem and give it to someone. And I thought, what a wonderful idea. And what a powerful thing it is when we give people something to read which has blessed us and which can also bless them. Use your opportunities whenever they cross your path. Many people face calamities that are not of their making. The drunk driver that collides with someone, paralyzing them for life. The guy who drops his drink from a balcony and the glass hits the skull of a man on the pavement below, leaving him with brain damage. These are just some of the stories we hear that are terrible, terrible things. But they're not God's fault. God did not drop the glass. God was not driving the car. The thing that we must never forget is the opportunity these events give us to be a blessing to other people. You know, I honestly believe if we prayed for more people in Asda or Sainsbury's or Tesco's or just in the street, we would hear of more people who were healed. We need to give people the opportunity to receive the end to their calamity. And we are the people that can do that. The truth is, there's nobody else. There is nobody else that can give them their breakthrough other than the people of God. So when you see someone in obvious need, why not go up to them and say, are you all right? Can I pray for you? Would it be all right if I prayed for you now? You know what? Some of those people will get a breakthrough there and then. But if that person doesn't, move on and pray for the next person. I've often said this. I will probably still be saying this when I'm 172. But I once had dinner with astronaut General Charles Duke, who was the lunar module pilot on Apollo 15. And I think it was 15. And Charlie Duke said, when he was praying for the sick, he said, someone said to me, what would you do if you prayed for someone and instead of them being healed, they dropped down dead? He said, I'll tell you what I'd do. He said, I'd step over their corpse and pray for the next one because I believe that God heals. And you know what? That's always stayed with me. Because that's true. What circumstances we face should not put us off the truth. God is the one who heals. And I stand here this morning because God is with me. God has brought me through yet another challenge. He's brought my wife through an even bigger one. But the truth is, I am okay because God is with me. The second point today is learning. We live in a culture which is trying to propagate the concept of continuous learning. Our government wants us to learn when we're at school, and I'm not even going to go there. Our government wants us to learn when we leave school, at university, in life, through apprenticeships. And our government wants us to carry on learning, primarily so that we as a people can be more employable by changing our lives as we go to make ourselves more suitable for employment. Some people say to me, God gave me this disease to teach me a lesson. I usually say to them, I don't believe that's a biblical position. Jesus will not put on his followers that which he took on his own back on the cross. I am very, very sorry, but I do not believe that God ever gave anybody a sickness to make them learn something. Would you do that to your children? Would you have a child that wasn't learning to share their toys with another child so you would give them multiple sclerosis? Would you do that? Would you? Of course not. And neither would God. The fact is that stuff gets washed up on the beaches of our lives from that horrible thing that happened in Eden centuries ago, and it's still impacting us today. But even then, Jesus wants to take us by the hand and walk us along the beach. And the obvious connection there is that poem about footprints in the sand. But I don't like that poem very much, so I've led myself up a garden path now. But you know, if you think God is trying to teach you something through your calamity, then please will you learn the lesson so we can get to the healing? Would you mind? You know, what's the problem if you are supposed to be learning a lesson? Why haven't you learnt it yet? Are you saying, well, I have learnt it yet, but the papers are queued up in heaven waiting for God to mark? Come on. You know, God wants to bless. But many of us, we are facing stuff which is unpleasant. There are many great calamities in life. Many great opportunities that they bring. You know, I'm not saying you can't learn through a calamity, because actually we should all be learning all the time through everything. What I'm saying is God doesn't give you the sickness so you can learn. But Romans 8:28 kicks in whenever we're facing calamity. For we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And so, you're in bed on your back, and all of a sudden, you read what I read in Romans 8, the other week, that in all of this, does it mean that God stopped loving us? And I've got a series out of that verse. You know, the reality is God really spoke to me when I was poorly. But I'll tell you what, he didn't speak to me every day, because some days I was just too poorly to engage. But the reality is that we should continue to learn even when we are facing rubbish. I don't know how many series of Star Trek Deep Space Nine I've rewatched while I've been off weather, you know. But it's amazing what you can learn from the odd space shuttle disaster. You know, slowing down can sometimes give you opportunities to listen to God that you've been missing out on. And that way, we should sometimes be grateful for a time of slowing down. But don't forget Romans 8:28. God wants to bring you good. And he wants to bring healing out of sickness. My third point today is harvest. Now, Jane read us that wonderful passage from Galatians chapter 6. It says these words, God is not mocked. For what a man sows, he will also reap. Now, I ask you some questions this morning. Does God forgive our sin? Hands up for yes. You're all right. Jesus, God forgives us our sin. Does God hold our sin against us? Yes. Good, you're all right. Because he doesn't hold our sin against us. Do we escape all the consequences of our sins? Yes or no? Yes. No? Ah, that's interesting, because you're pretty well equally divided. Because the truth is, we do escape the eternal consequences of sin when we are forgiven. But we don't necessarily escape the temporal consequences. If you put your seed in the ground, you will expect to harvest. If you plant wheat, you will expect that wheat will grow. I remember a friend of mine who worked as a young man with raw asbestos. It was in the days when nobody understood how devastating contact with asbestos was. When he was about 70, he began to be very ill, and it killed him. The fact is, it could have killed him in his 50s, but he got through to his 70s. But that wasn't God. That was the direct result of what he'd done as a young man. He had messed about with fibrous material which you should not inhale. And his body eventually died because of that. Now, that isn't God's fault. You could say it wasn't his fault. Well, it wasn't. It was his boss's fault, really. And we all know that there have been a lot of court cases about people dying of mesothelioma, asbestos in the lungs. But the reality is what a man sows, he will reap. If you muck around with things that are deadly, they will affect you. The young lady who had one holiday romance that resulted in her being scarred for life by a terrible sexually transmitted disease. What about someone who ripped off loads of people financially, but only got caught 7 years later after they had turned their life around and began following Jesus, but they ended up going to prison? You know, all of these people, they reaped what they sowed. There were consequences that they faced in this life for what they had been involved with earlier on. Wasn't even always their fault, but they faced those consequences. Sometimes we have got a crop in the ground that we have forgotten about, or we may not realize that it had any significance. Well, let's bring this home and say, was my heart attack the consequence of a crop that I had in the ground? Well, my diet was healthy, they tell me, but my portion size could have been a bit smaller. I should have done more exercise. And that definitely didn't help. The real truth, though, in my case, is that the doctors say that the hereditary components of this disease was the big issue to my life. In fact, they said to me, you can thank your father for this. My father died at age 50 of a heart attack. And I am also, age 58, faced what he faced. If you like, the seed was in my genes. And in my body, the harvest came out 11 weeks ago. I have to eat smaller portions. I have to exercise regularly. And I have medicines to take so that I won't have another event. The good news is that if I do these things, I will never have another event. Like others who have walked before me, I am now a bit of an advocate for losing a bit of weight. I'm a bit like a reformed smoker. Oh, you don't want to be doing that. You know what I mean? So I may, from time to time, mention it a little bit. You maybe need to lose a little bit of weight. Which is a bit rich, coming from someone who carried a bit too much weight. But what I am saying to you is, there is a harvest out there. And we cannot expect God to short-circuit the laws of this universe just because we've entered into relationship with him. If we have got a crop in the ground, we will reap from that crop. My last point today is using a crutch. Lots of people have said to me over the years, it's all right for you, Stephen. They said this particularly after my son died of cancer when he was 7. It's something that people seem to think was okay to say to a man who had lost his son. It's okay for you, Stephen. I became infuriated with people saying this to me. And once I was having a right rant at God, saying, God, this person, they don't know what they're on about, saying to me, it's all right for you. And then I heard God speak to me. And what he said wasn't very helpful. He said to me, well, except Stephen, you know that is true. Because it is all right for you. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought, actually, God's right. You see, I have chosen to follow God. I have chosen to follow God. The day we were married, I stood up at the reception and I said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Pauline and I have decided to follow God together. And that's, my exact words were, and that is how it will be in our marriage. The fact is, it is all right for me because I have a relationship with God the Father. You see, an old pastor of mine, he was 70 when he was dying. And I remember him standing up and saying, well, you know, if God heals me, that's great. But if God doesn't heal me, that's great because I get to go to heaven ahead of the rest of you. And you know, he got to heaven before the rest of us. But he was so bright and up about it, whichever way it went, he was a winner. He said, I can't lose. And you know what? He didn't lose. But what people really have a go at Christians for is using a crutch. How many times have you heard them say, oh, Christianity, it's just a crutch? Well, you know, I have a clear understanding of this phrase because my wife was a nurse for so many years. I know that having a crutch is actually a praiseworthy thing. It's actually a really positive thing. If you've got a crutch, they love you because it gets you out of your bed. I remember when my wife was training to be a nurse, how that all I ever heard about was, we've got to make sure this man doesn't get bed sores. And, you know, that all the procedures they followed in hospital to make sure people don't get bed sores. Because if you stay in bed too long, your skin becomes thinner and more inflexible, it breaks open, you get sores, it's awful. And often, you end up worse after your stay in hospital than you did before. Because it's a terrible thing that people face in bed sores. Suffering, in one way or another, is universal and relative. If it's the worst thing that's ever happened to you, it's bad. We don't have to compare suffering with suffering. We don't have to say, oh, well, you know, Jane's had it really bad. But Joan hasn't had it that bad. We don't talk in that. That's sort of rubbish to talk like that. What suffering you face is the worst suffering you've ever faced. But this idea that there is something wrong with having a crutch is absolutely crazy. It's stupid that there's something wrong with having a crutch. Because if you have a crutch that enables you to stand up again, that is success. That's absolutely brilliant if you've got a crutch. And if I have to say to someone today, well, I'm using Jesus as a crutch, then I'll tell you what, that's great news. Because Jesus gets you up again. Jesus helps you to stand and face life together. Jesus enables you to walk out of that room into the next room and make a cup of tea because you've got a crutch. It's absolutely wonderful. I don't want you to get excited at all, by the way. Please don't feel that there's anything too exciting about this. It's wonderful! Jesus is my crutch. I can stand on him. I can lean on him. Whatever I am facing, all I have to do is lean on Jesus. Don't hesitate to lean on Jesus. Don't wait for him to say to you, by the way, it's okay to lean on me. Just lean on him. Just engage with the crutch. Let me tell you, if Jesus is a crutch, I love crutches. In conclusion, today we have recognized that calamities are actually opportunities. Opportunities for the kingdom of God to come in our lives. Opportunities to face God's healing head on and experience the power of God in our lives. God may not have initiated these calamities, but he wants to turn everything about in our lives to good. So he will even bring good out of your calamities. And more than anything today, we have been reminded that to have a relationship with Jesus is the answer to all of our needs, so we can face life by leaning hard on Jesus, our Saviour. This morning, do you think that's a good result? I think it's a good result. Next week, we're going to conclude on this subject, but right now I want us to pray. Because there is healing in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's so much wonderful input that God wants to have in our lives, and all we have to do is call on his name. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we come to you in our time of calamity. Whatever we are facing, we offer it up to you and we say, Lord God, would you please come and stand with us? Will you walk on the beach of our lives as we are facing all this stuff that's washed up there? Lord, we pray that you will turn all of these things around for opportunities, that you will turn them all around for good. We pray that we will learn, even in this time when you haven't initiated this in our lives, but you give us opportunity to hear your voice. Lord, we pray that if we have a crop in the ground that we are not aware of, that you will help us to have the heart that will always deal righteously with what comes up. And we pray more than anything that you will help us to sow many good crops yet that will bring up a harvest 30, 60 and 100 fold, that which will bring blessing to those around us. And Lord, we just say this morning, Lord, we love you. We believe it's all right for us who have chosen to follow you. And we just want to say this morning, we lean on you, Lord Jesus. We lean on you. I just want to say, before we finally sit up, just want to say, if you do need prayer now, why not come forward and I'll pray for you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray release now to your back. I pray healing to your back in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, set my brother free in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I pray for June. I anoint her with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray release in her body. Release in her foot, in her leg. I just pray, Lord, that you will loosen the left side of her body. Lord, will you please reconnect that which is broken? And Lord, in Jesus' name, set her free. Lord, we pray for other issues in her life which concerning her right now. We're thinking of family things. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would do wonderful things. Lord, that you would bring about a change that lasts forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I thank you for Joan, and I anoint her with oil in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that she also might have all that she needs. Give her strength for the day, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.